Continuing with the subject of Tawheed, we will today look at the fifth stage of Tawheed, which is Tawheed in trusting none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And trust is an amazing factor which plays throughout life. If there is no trust in relationships, if there is no trust in life, there can be no love, and therefore there can be no life. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Ayah 3, Allah says, وَتَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا. And put your trust in Allah, and Allah is sufficient as a protector. In Surah Ali Imran, He says, وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَقِّلِينَ. And Allah loves those who trust Him. So what is this trust? Trust is really the basis of Iman. You know, if you were to tell a child a fairy tale, the child would believe it. That is the trust the child has in his or her parents. But the trust we're going to talk about is not to be confused with childhood naivety or gullibility. It's a faculty that recognizes truths that are infinitely, incomprehensibly greater than ourselves. Let's go back at this child that I talked about. If you look at this child who's been told a fairy tale, as he or she grows older, he or she will trust less at face value because their iman has now been obscured by reason. Not only that, but their trust has constantly been abused. After years of experiencing hypocrisy and being lied to, they learn to even mistrust their own inner beliefs. I have a 5-year-old, and she was watching one of the children's adverts on television, which was selling a particular cereal, and said that this cereal was the best cereal in the whole world. And when we went to the supermarket the next time, she saw it and she said, "Ma, this is the best cereal in the whole world. Can I please have it?" And with great anticipation, we bought this box. She came home, and the first thing she wanted was a bowl of cereal with milk. And when she ate it, she said, "Ma, they lie. It is not the best cereal in the whole wide world." And this is how it starts. So what a child then does, or what a human being then does, is to protect himself or herself, they begin to use reason alone to process ideas, to establish a value system, because they think that they cannot trust their inner beliefs. And in essence, we then silence the inner voice within us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept that inner voice inside us, which is called Hadiya Batin, the inner guide. To be able to reawaken this inner guide, we need to be able to build in ourselves the faculty of trust. And it means relying upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means the severance, the cutting off of all hopes and expectations from any other except Allah. And that's not to say, I'm not trying to say you function on trust alone. But once you experience Iman through trust, then reason only becomes a tool to help us express the essence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A word of warning though, this trust is not passive. It doesn't mean that you got to sit back and accept events as they happen. You know, you don't not tie, lock your car, for example, and hope everything will be all right. There is dawa and dua. You've got to tie your camel and then trust for safekeeping. You've got to know your best and then trust that the outcome will be the best. And in essence, it means knowing that however much effort one invests, all blessings originate from Allah, and trusting that Allah always does what is good and right. You know, true trust doesn't waver. Even if things do not work out the way we like it, you know that there is khair in that event. There is goodness in that event. It's not blind faith of ignorance, but rather it's the uncompromising belief in the absolute trust. And you know what? In any relationship, trust is the purest expression of love. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the same thing. Trust is the purest expression of love for Him. And if we look at Islamic history, it's full of incidents which illustrate that Allah is sufficient as a protector. I remember as a child in the month of Ramadan, when we came to the 17th of Ramadan, as the Battle of Badr. Absolutely amazing. 313 poorly armed men against this well-equipped army of 1,000 men. But they had absolute iman and trust. And they won. I remember as a child going around with badges on that day which said, "We won." It's just great. Now, How do I know whether I'm building trust? What are the signs of one who has trust, who has tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Well, the first one, and this is from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is that he or she fears and hopes in none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore that shows by the fact that he or she would uphold the truth even in the presence of those who are feared. I had a question from one of the listeners the other day who was asking me about what he might have heard, that for a Muslim it is okay to lie or to withhold the truth when it came to their iman, or when they're talking to those who do not believe. It took me back for a minute. That's not what it's about. Submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means upholding the truth. And the only place where you're allowed to not lie, remember the word used is not to lie, but to withhold the truth, is where if you're going to say he said, she said, and you're going to ruin relationships between two people, then it's best not to say anything. And the second place is where your property, your life, and your honor is at stake. There you withhold the truth, but nowhere are you allowed to lie. The second thing, and the sign of one who has taqwa, is that he or she does not worry because of the confidence in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They've done their best. They know they've put it in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He says, بِيَدِهِ الْخَيْرِ, in his hands is all goodness, and therefore they know that the outcome has to be good. That means their heart is tranquil despite the chaos around. It's an amazing state to be in. And finally, you find that he or she does not become disturbed or does not panic in any situation that's put forward to them. Let's now look at the next stage, which is tawheed in amal, which is tawheed in deeds. And this means that in absolutely every action of ours, there should be no riya or sum'ah. Now, what does that mean? Riya is doing something so as to be seen by others. In other words, showing off. And sum'ah is doing something so that when people hear of it, they praise it. Tawheed in amal, in deeds, means to only obey the Creator and serving His creation. And all deeds must be towards this goal, not doing it for anyone, but to be able to reach your full potential, to seek closeness to divinity. And maybe some practical points is asking oneself some questions every night. When you go to sleep tonight, ask yourself, is anybody happier because you passed their way? Does anyone remember that you spoke to them today? Can you really say before you go to sleep that you helped one person of the many that you passed in that day? Is a single heart rejoicing over what you did or said? Does the person whose hopes were fading now, look at life with courage ahead because of what you did to them, what you said to them? Did you leave a trail of kindness? You know, as you close your eyes, think. Do you think Allah will tell the angels, this abd of mine, this creation of mine, he or she has earned one more tomorrow by the work he or she did today? The pertinent questions. And I'd like to end with a saying from Hadith Qudsi, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am the best of partners. This means that he says, if you do anything for somebody else and a little bit for me, I will give everything to the other partner. So if we do anything with a mixed intention, that means we're doing it partly for Allah and partly to show off to someone, he will give it all to the other person. So tawheed in amal revolves around the fact that all our actions revolve around Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we do them to be able to reach our full potential without asking the question, what is in it for me? A question that you hear so many times. The actual opportunity one gets to do something, that's absolutely amazing. You know, I remember my father, who used to say the most fortunate person is the one who gets asked to do things, who gets the opportunity to serve. He said, what better compliment can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you than give you an opportunity to serve? And it actually confirms when he gives you an opportunity that the last serving that you did has been accepted. Inshallah, tomorrow we will look at the pinnacle of belief, or the pinnacle of Tawheed, which is Tawheed in total devotion to none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we will then look at the subject, which is an enigma, probably the most oft-used words in the history of mankind, but remains an enigma, which is love.